will we allow the reading of his word to change us. We turn to our Bibles and read the first letter of John. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We wrote this to make our joy, or your joy, complete. This is the word of the Lord. Father, we thank you that you are a God who speaks. And we thank you that we have your word at great cost, passed down to us through the years in our own language so that we can read it. But Father, we do pray that we will not only have open ears, but open minds and open hearts, that when you speak, we will listen and do what you want us to do. We pray these things in the name of Jesus, our Saviour. Amen. For my next few visits on the Sunday mornings, we're going to be looking at these letters of John. And so we're going to begin this morning with a bit of an introduction. Why did John write these letters? There are three short letters, 1 John, 2 John and 3 John. They get shorter as they go along. And to begin with, it's a bit of a strange letter. For a start off, it doesn't say who it's to. There are no greetings. If you read the letters of Paul, it's, this is Paul, I'm an apostle of Jesus and I'm writing to you because. There's nothing like that here. It just opens. There are no personal references. He doesn't talk about people by name. He doesn't say where he's been and what he's done. Very impersonal. No reminiscences. I remember when I saw you. I remember this. I remember when we did that. Straight in. That which was from the beginning. It's not normally the way that we would begin a letter, is it? Not that we write them very often. We might do it if we were sending a text or on email or something. If you write a letter, you normally say, dear so-and-so, and do some sort of introduction. It's believed that this letter was written when John was very, very old. About AD 100, so you're talking, 70 years or so after Jesus has died and gone back to heaven. So there's John, very old. And he's writing to the churches in Asia Minor. And he's writing to people whose love for God had gone cold. And now they were finding the Christian life a burden and not a joy. Today, question for us maybe. Has our love for God grown cold? Is our life as a Christian a burden or is it a joy? Oh, got to go to church again this morning, I suppose. I've got to be here because I'm preaching. No, it's all right. Got to go to the prayer meeting on Tuesday or Wednesday. Got to go and do some tidying up in the church garden. Got to go and do some... It happens very easily, doesn't it, if we're not careful. It becomes a burden, not a joy. Has our love for God grown cold? Do we love him as much today as when we first came to know him? In fact, really, our love should be increasing, shouldn't it? Not diminishing. These churches, they weren't experiencing persecution, but there was trouble inside. Trouble from the inside. People causing all sorts of problems. So why did John write to them? Well, I believe as we read through these letters, we see that he cares for these people. He cares for them. If you look at chapter 2, verse 1, he calls them my dear children. Chapter 2 and verse 12, I am writing to you, dear children. Verse 14, dear children. Verse 18, dear children. Verse 28, dear children. We won't read them all, but if you go into chapter 3 and chapter 4 and chapter 5, again and again he calls the people he's writing to his dear children. He cares for them. He calls them his friends. Chapter 2 and verse 7. Dear friends. Chapter 3 and verse 2. Dear friends. Chapter 4 and verse 4. Dear children we have again. Chapter 4 and verse 1. Dear friends. Chapter 4 and verse 7. Dear friends. I think we get the picture if we read it often enough, don't we? That he's writing to people that he loves and cares for. They are his friends. They are his children. He's older and wiser. He's probably at least 90 years old, maybe 100. He actually knew Jesus in the flesh, spent time with him, has had many experiences, and they're his friends and his children. He doesn't write in anger, but in love and care. What about us? Do we sometimes have to put people right? When we do we do it in love because we care? Or because we want to prove that we are right and they're wrong. To bring them down and puff ourselves up. I know the answer to that. You're doing wrong. You listen to me. John wasn't writing like that. John wasn't writing like that. He wanted to help his friends, help his children understand what being a Christian was truly all about. And so he writes to them lovingly. So John wrote to them because he cared for them. And then he wrote to them because he wanted them to understand who Jesus is and why he came. In chapter 1 and verse 1 to 2, he says this. I want you to know about Jesus. He is the one who was from the very beginning. And I've seen him, I've looked at him, I've touched him, I've heard what he's got to say, and he is the word of life. In his gospel, he wrote, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And he came into this world that those who receive him might become his children and his friends. So I want you to remember who Jesus really is. He is the word of life sent by God from the beginning. He is the Christ, we're told in chapter 2, verse 2. The righteous one. He's the Messiah, the one that people were waiting for. He is, we're told in chapter 4, the Saviour of the world and the giver of eternal life. And people say to you, say to me, who's Jesus? Who was Jesus, they might say. Maybe not, who is Jesus? Why is Jesus so important? Why is Jesus so different to everyone else? Why do you say that Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life? What's so special about Jesus? Is he any greater than Muhammad or Buddha? Or whatever, whatever. Why should we believe in him? John says, he's the word of life. He's the Christ, the Savior, the only one who can give eternal life. Jesus isn't just a good teacher. Jesus isn't just a good example to follow. Jesus is the Son of God, sent to earth to be our Savior, to be my Savior, to be your Savior. We sang about that this morning. Someone prayed about it this morning. Jesus came to be our Savior, that we might be God's children, God's friends. And no one else can do that for you. No one. Can't do it for yourself. Religion can't do it for you. Being good can't do it for you. But Jesus can do it for you. When we put our trust in him, John says, we can know that we have eternal life. He said that at the end of his gospel. These things were written so that you can know that you have eternal life. Not that you've got your fingers crossed behind your back when you get to the heavenly gates and hoping for the best. But you will know. We can know without a shadow of a doubt. Although Satan will sometimes come along and try and make us doubt. But we can know that Jesus is the one who gives us eternal life when we trust in him. So he writes to them because he cares about them. He writes to them because he wants them to understand who Jesus is and why he came. He writes to them because there's a lot of people going around saying things that aren't true. Times don't change, do they? Times don't change. And one of the main problems of the churches in these days was that people were getting in and saying things that weren't true. They were giving teaching that was false. And they were saying things like this. Only special people can really know God. Ordinary people can't. You're going to do all sorts of amazing things to really know God. God only reveals himself to special people. And then there were other people going around saying that only your spirit is good and everything that you can touch and feel is bad. So Jesus couldn't possibly have become a man, because if he'd been in a man's body, he would have become evil. So that can't be right. He only looked as if he was a man, he wasn't real. Why does John say, I saw him, I touched him, I heard him? Because there were some people going around saying, well, no, he wasn't really real. He just looked real. And then there were some people who were saying, your body is evil. And there's nothing you can do about it. So you've got two choices. You either do as you want, because it doesn't matter, or you don't do anything at all. Like the ascetics who sat on top of poles for 30 years and wouldn't eat or drink or, you know, do anything that was fun at all. And because of this, some of the Christians in these churches were looking down on those who weren't as knowledgeable as they were. We know more than you do, so we're more important. We're living a better way of life than you do, so God loves us more. And others were refusing to believe that Jesus was the Messiah. We still have problems like this today. Believe it or not. Various cults, sects, and even, I'm afraid, poor Christian Bible teaching will tell you all sorts of things that are not right. And we need to be on our guard. That's why we need to read this book and to know what it says. When I was watching Wolf Hall the other night, someone came in and they said, I've been reading it in English and it doesn't say anything about. And they reeled off a lot of things that were going on in the church of that day. So there's nothing about purgatory. There's nothing about worshipping statues. There's nothing about all sorts of things in the Bible. Because they were reading it for the first time in their own language. We need to know this book so that when we see people or hear people twisting it, adding bits, taking bits out, we're able to say, this is the word of God. You know, even today, the Moonies, not that they're quite so prevalent these days, it is plain that Jesus is not God. The Mormons, Jesus was a pre-existed spirit, the firstborn of God's spirit children. The children of God, Jesus was the beginning of the creation of God. Christian Science, Jesus Christ is not God. Jehovah's Witnesses, Jesus the Christ, a created individual, is the second greatest personage in the universe. He was a God, but not Almighty God. Nothing new under the sun. John writes and says, you need to know what the word says so that you can put errors right. And then he wants them to know how to live lives that please God. He wants them to walk in the light of God. He wants them to live in obedience to God. He wants them to love one another. Walk in the light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Are we walking in the light of Jesus? Or do we prefer to be in the dark? Are we walking in the light of Jesus because we put our trust in him for the first time? Are we still walking in his light, even though we've been walking with him for 30, 40, 50, 60 years? Walk in the light of God, in the light of his word. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Walk in the light of God. Follow the way he directs you. Live in obedience to what God says. And love one another. And then he wants them to be confident and joyful in their faith. He says, a number of times John says, you can know, you will know, you know. It's not a matter of hoping for the best or guessing or wondering. You can know, says John. When you put your trust in Jesus, you can know of a surety that you are saved, that he will never leave you or forsake you, that you do have a place in heaven, that even in the rotten times of life, he is there caring for you. You can know. I want you to be confident. When Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within, upwards I look and I see him there, who made the end of all my sin. Because the sinless Saviour died, my sinful soul is counted free. I know. Paul wrote, I know whom I have believed. I know that my Redeemer lives, said Job. We know that when we see him, we shall be like him. We will be with him. We can know, says John. And we can be joyful. He says, writing to you like this will give me joy. And I hope it will give you joy too. John wrote these three small letters. God has given us all scripture. All scripture is inspired by God to teach us, to reprove us, to bless us, to help us, to give us his light. He gave us the Bible because he loves us. God wants us to know the truth. He wants us to have confidence and joy in trusting Jesus. He wants us to have eternal life and live lives that please him. Today, as we read his word, believe it and let it sink down into our hearts, it can make all the difference to us. You know, for some people, this book was worth laying down their lives. Even today, some people will be laying down their lives, whether in actual totality or being in prison, for this book. And this book is so important because it's God's word to us today. And he says, you can know me. Put your trust in Jesus. I want you to live lives that please me. I want you to live lives of obedience and love and care. Do we, each one of us here today, know Jesus for ourselves? Not know about Jesus. Not know what it says in here, although that's very good. But have we allowed it to go from our minds to our hearts and change us? Ancient words, ever true, changing me and changing you. We thank God for his word. We thank God for the word of life, Jesus Christ. And it's my prayer this morning that each one of us has put our trust in him. And we can say, I know in whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep what I've trusted to him until the day I see him face to face. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your written word that teaches us of you. We thank you for Jesus, the living word, who came into this world to be our Saviour. We thank you for your Spirit, who reveals the truth of Jesus to us and helps us to see who he really is, that we might put our trust in him now and forever. And so, Father, we thank you for these letters that you prompted John to write. And we pray that as we read them, we will learn much from you, and that we will trust you and obey you, love one another, and be confident and joyful because we believe in you. We pray these things in the name of Jesus, our Saviour. Amen.